Everyone who comes to Christ in repentance and faith would receive eternal life.
Dr. Youssef is using this teaching to penetrate the world through 190 plus nations in 28 languages, and we just think that's part of our ministry as a couple, is to be participants in that.
We're so grateful here in Australia to be a part of a global ministry that is passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth.
I have listened to Dr. Youssef over the years, and I knew that if he was coming to Macon, Georgia, that there was a move of God that was coming with him.
It was really indeed a life-changing moment.
Every organization, large and small, takes its culture and its passion from its leader, and you've led well. God bless.
Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth. What a ministry. May you have many more years of leading the way and preaching the gospel.
This dear friend has been one of the most effective proclaimers of the gospel I've ever heard. His ministry has been a blessing to people across the globe.
I don't have 3 points to talk about the beauty of heaven. No, I have 8. And that is actually condensing from what could have been many. So fasten your seatbelt as we go on this amazing journey to look at these 8 facets of the beauty of heaven. It's like a diamond or a ruby or like an emerald. It's like a precious stone. It's exquisite with color sparkling in its beauty. Revelation 21 describes the foundation of the heavenly city in terms of precious stones, sapphire, agate, emerald, onyx, ruby, and more. John said that its walls of jasper, which made of magnificent colors, indescribable. The city structure actually made of gold. He said, pure gold like glass. As I told you in the last message, all of these things about the beauty of heaven, all of these things, all these exquisite description of it, these striking physical descriptions of heaven, do not thrill me anywhere near the deeper reality of heaven. The deeper reality of heaven. And this deeper reality is what I call the 8 facets of the beauty of heaven. Let's look at number 1. First of all, the Bible said we're going to have an uninterrupted fellowship with Jesus. Uninterrupted. Hear me right, please. Every other facet in heaven pales in approximation to this one. We will be in his presence continuously. We will be experiencing an unending and unbroken fellowship throughout all of eternity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, Paul tells us, now we see only reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see him face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know him fully as I am fully known. Now later in this series, I'm going to show you what the Bible says about the new heaven and the new earth. But for now, I want to talk about the present heaven. The present heaven, and I'm going to show you the difference. The present heaven, or paradise, where the believers go the moment they close their eyes in death. When we say that our loved ones who knew and loved Jesus have gone into heaven, we are referring to paradise or the present heaven. You know, the book of Revelation revealed to us, that's why it's called Revelation, because it reveals to us. It reveals to us the present heaven, the beauty of the present heaven, the awe-inspiring place that's called heaven. And that is why Jesus, Paul, and John all called it paradise. This is the heaven of which Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1, says, "The heavens were open, and I saw a vision of God." This is the heaven of which the Apostle Paul had the privilege of seeing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, he said, "I heard inexplicable," can you say that word with me? "Inexplicable things that no one is permitted to tell. Until the new heaven appears," the present heaven is a place of reunion. It's a place of communion. It's a place of rejoicing, and I can't wait to get there. God, in His sovereign will, in His sovereign will, He allowed John and Paul to see it in order to testify to it. But also God brought down Moses and Elijah in their glorified body to the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember? Three disciples with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah in their transformed body, in their glorified body, appear on that Mount of Transfiguration. Their soul was not asleep. Jesus brought them in deliberately. Why? In order to show the disciples and to show us that we too are going to be in a glorified body in heaven, just like them. Amen. Give God glory. And so, the first facet of heaven, uninterrupted fellowship. The second facet of heaven is that we're going to rest from our spiritual battles. Revelation 14, 13, John writes, "When I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, from now on,' yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor and their work will follow them." We are not going to be idols in heaven. I'm going to show you in a minute. That's not what the text is saying, that we're going to be sitting idle. No, 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 no. We're not going to be hanging out in heaven. But we're going to rest from Satan's continuous oppression and opposition. We will rest from his spiritual attack. We will rest from all of satanic activities that seem to be on the increase today. We will rest from the opposition that we face as Christians, especially today. We will rest from a constant wrestling with temptation. That's the kind of rest we're talking about. You know, in the Old Testament, God did not establish the Sabbath for golf. Hello. God did not establish the Sabbath for the beach. The Bible said God created the world in 6 days and He rested on the seventh day. Was He exhausted? Was He, "I'm tired now, I'm going to rest"? No. He's talking about the rest of satisfaction, the rest of contentment. That's the kind of rest He's talking about. And the Sabbath is a day in which we take our minds off of everyday's plans, our business activities, so that we may focus on God, so that we may focus on His majesty, on His dominion, and His power, on His mercy, and on His grace, and His love for us. That's what the Sabbath rest is all about. In heaven, we will have an eternal Sabbath, an eternal rest, eternal contentment, an eternal peace, where we'll be spending all of our time free from all the earthly struggles, from worries, from anxieties, and from all sorts of temptations. The third facet of heaven is serving Jesus in heaven. Serving Jesus in heaven. I know there's some people think that in heaven we're going to be just sitting on the beach sipping iced tea or something. I don't know. Revelation 22 verse 3 tells us the throne of God and the Lamb will be in that city. And get this, don't miss this, and his servant will serve him. We're not going to be idle. In heaven, we will be honored and privileged to serve Jesus full time, all the time. In our transformed, resurrected bodies, we'll be spending mental energy and mental capacity comprehending the incomprehensible love of God. And listen, that serving is not going to be begrudging. No, it's going to be joyful. It's going to be enthusiastically. And it's not going to be feel like it's a chore or a burden. No, we're not going to get fatigued or tired or exhausted in the service of God. No, instead, we will serve God gladly and joyfully with deep, deep, deep gratitude for redeeming us. We will be so grateful because we will see things as they ought to be seen. We will experience an ultimate fulfillment which eludes us here on this earth. What kind of service will it be? You know, the Bible gives us just a hint. Just a hint. Doesn't give us a lot of the info, but just a little hint what our service for Jesus will in heaven will be like. You want to know it? We're going to reign and rule with him. We're going to reign and rule with him. In 2 Timothy 2:12, it says that if we endure, say that with me, if
we endure,
we will also reign with him. Revelation 20, verse 6 tells us that we will be priests of God and of Christ, and we will reign with him. Jesus, in his parable of the servants, he tells us that those who serve faithfully in this life will hear from the lips of Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful on few things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The fourth facet of heaven is full knowledge. Full knowledge. Oh, in this life, I know we're all full of questions. I know. We're all full of questions. Why do the righteous suffer? Why does the innocent suffer? Why the wicked appears to be prospering? Why children sometimes experience incurable diseases? Why do earthquakes and floods and hurricanes devastate lands and kill people? On and on and on and on. We're full of questions. In heaven, we will have full knowledge and complete understanding of all mysteries. Can I get an amen? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. Now we know in part, then I shall fully know as I'm fully known. Why? Because we will see all things through God's eyes. We see things from God's perspective. We will have no need for questions. We won't have any questions when we get there, because we will understand justice from God's point of view. We will understand free will and God's sovereign election from God's point of view. We will be able to think of God's thoughts after him, because we will finally have the view, God's view of reality. Now we don't. The fifth facet of heaven is righteousness and beauty reign. In heaven, we will live holy and righteous life. We're going to live pure lives. God is going to replace our sinful, fallen minds and hearts with pure ones. Question: how do you know that your name is written in the book of life? How do you know that? Well, the first step, and only the first step, is to come to the realization that I'm a sinner and I'm sinned against God. I cannot save myself. I need the Savior. And I go in humility and in brokenness, ask for the one who took my sin upon that cross to redeem me, to save me eternally. That's the first step. But you have to live the rest of your life. Loving Jesus and hating sin. Because the first step does not stop there. It cannot stop there. It must not stop there. But you spend the rest of your earthly life rejecting, not normalizing sin. That's how you know your name is written in the book of life. One of the great indications of salvation is not sinlessness. That's never going to happen in this life. So get that out of your system. It's not sinlessness. Only Jesus was sinless. That's why the Bible said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we do what? Confess. And so you have to live the rest of your life hating sin. Deep down. Not only just hating sin in my life, but also deep down, you're longing for purity. You're longing for righteousness. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. Those when they sin, they cannot wait to confess and repent. Deep down, we long and love holiness and separation from sin. The sixth facet of heaven is abundance. Abundance. Revelation 22, 1 and 2 describes the river of water as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood a tree of life, bearing 12 fruits, yielding fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now, let me give you an interpretation, explanation of this metaphor. This is a metaphor, metaphoric language. I want to explain it to you. In that city, there are no cemeteries because there is no death. In that city, it's a city without hospitals because there will be no illnesses or diseases there. In that city, there has no mental institutions because there is no depression, no sadness, no sorrow, no stress, no anger there. The first two chapters of Genesis and the last two chapters of Revelation, they mirror each other. They mirror each other. The latter city will replace the Garden of Eden. In other words, God will restore His creation to even better and more abundant state than the original Eden. Listen to me. Genesis 1 and 2 shows us God's act of creation. And Revelation 21 and 22 shows us God's act of recreation. The seventh facet of heaven. Continuous glory. A little while ago, I was explaining what glory is in the Bible, and several of you came on afterward and said, thanked me because they said, with the word glory, such people are confused about it. That's why I'm going to keep hammering it away until you get it. So many people in the church, when you start talking about glory, and they do talk about glory, but if you ask them, what does that mean? They draw a blank. Others misinterpret the word glory altogether. So what is it? You ready for it? Yes. It is a full revelation of God's character. Glory is the revelation, full revelation of God's character. And that is why Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, in John chapter 17, in that high priestly prayer, he said, "Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." God the Son asking God the Father to shine through God the Son from the cross. In heaven, we will see the full revelation of God's character. We can't fully comprehend it now. It would be impossible. Sometimes I try to imagine if God ever reveals his true glory. I'm telling you, we'd be incinerated. His purity will incinerate us in this body of sin. But there in heaven, we will experience the glory of God ourselves. We will have the characters of God, the presence of God. We're going to experience that in a way we could never see it or experience it in this world. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. In other words, the full revelation of the character of God is going to be our character. That boggles my mind. Everything that God is, everything that God has, he will share with us, including his character. 8, continuous worship. Continuous worship. I need to stop and explain this, because through the years, people have really misunderstood, they messed this thing up. Because they thought it's going to be like one of those boring church services, 11 o'clock service continuously. Worship comes from the word worth or the word honor. And that is why worship is a way of life. Magnifying, worthy, lifting up, showing what God is worth to us. It is all-consuming expression of the worthiness of Jesus. And that is why Revelation 19 gives us but a tiny, tiny, tiny glimpse of how from every tribe, from every nation, from every tongue, they will be standing before the throne of God, praising him, thanking him for redeeming us. Will you be there? Will you be there? If you've come to the point of honesty and acknowledging that you are a person who have broken the commandments of God, the laws of God, you can pray with me. And it sounds so simple, but it's more than simple. It is real. It's serious. That you can pray, "Lord, I do acknowledge that I'm a sinner, and I know the consequences of my sin is hell. And therefore, I come to you asking for your forgiveness. Forgive me all of my sins. Redeem me by the blood of Jesus Christ so that I live here for you, and then for eternity, I'll be with you." Pray that prayer. Get in touch with me. God bless.
What will heaven really be like?
I believe in heaven. I believe when you pass away, your soul goes straight to heaven with God.
Maybe everybody goes to their own personal heaven.
I definitely believe in a heaven and a hell. If you're good, you go to heaven. If you're not good, you go to the other place.
What I'm most excited about for heaven is being able to see God, Jesus and God, face to face.
Overall, I do have an overwhelming sense that there is something after this.
It may be nothing. We don't know for sure.
I think it's really beyond our ability to comprehend.
We're all searching. The only way we can be sure of our future is by looking to Scripture. Discover the stunning truth about eternity as Dr. Youssef dismantles misconceptions and brings biblical clarity to the awe-inspiring reality of heaven in his highly anticipated new book, Heaven Awaits.
We are more confused about heaven today than any other time, including churches.
In Heaven Awaits, Dr. Youssef unpacks the facets of heaven's promised beauty, as well as the blessings and benefits that Jesus described in striking detail. Receive biblical clarity about heaven as Dr. Youssef dispels common and misleading misconceptions perpetuated in our culture. Allow Scripture to inform your understanding of heaven and be encouraged as you discover that it is better than you could possibly imagine.
Focusing on heaven produces godliness here and now. Focusing on heaven brings us joy and comfort here and now in the midst of trials.
Pre-order your copy of Heaven Awaits from Leading the Way for your gift of any amount. Uncover what the Bible really says about the path to eternal life. This is the perfect resource to both encourage the believer and reach the non-believer alike. Be inspired, encouraged, and comforted as Dr. Youssef reminds you that life is fleeting, but heaven is forever. Pre-order your copy of Heaven Awaits for your gift of any amount today. Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef is traveling to Mexico for a once-in-a-lifetime revival event. This April, Dr. Youssef will proclaim the good news of Jesus at a 7,000-seat outdoor venue in the heart of Veracruz, Mexico. This historic event will be the first citywide evangelistic campaign in Veracruz in 20 years, so your help in lifting this event up in prayer is essential. This multi-day event will also feature a separate children's event where life-saving truth of Jesus will be provided to the children of Veracruz. Dr. Youssef's message will also be streamed live on Leading the Way's streaming platforms, so you can take part of it as well. Through your partnership with Leading the Way, God is moving mightily and new believers are coming to know Christ by the multitudes. To find out how you can be a part of this move of God in Mexico, contact us today. Dr. Michael Youssef's My Journal is the invaluable monthly publication of Leading the Way. Each month, you'll find My Journal offering rich, biblically-based devotionals from Dr. Youssef that help you deepen your study of Scripture. You'll also find monthly Scripture prompts to help you memorize God's Word, trending articles to equip you with a biblical worldview on popular issues, and the Ask Dr. Youssef column, where Dr. Youssef answers your most pressing questions. In the monthly My Journal, you'll receive frontline ministry updates and exclusive previews of Dr. Youssef's books before they're even released, as well as special offers, free digital resources, and more. My Journal is an amazing resource to not only cultivate your own personal walk with Christ, but to also stay informed about how and where God is moving through the world today through Leading the Way. Get your free 6-month subscription today. Subscribe now at ltw.org. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth. Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.